Act 4, Scene 4. Ministry of Magic. Harry's office. Harry is hurriedly going through paperwork. Dumbledore.
Good evening, Harry.
Beat. Harry looks up at the portrait of Dumbledore, his face passive. Harry.
Professor Dumbledore. In my office. I'm honoured. I must be where the action is tonight.
Dumbledore.
What are you doing?
Harry.
Going through papers, seeing if I'd missed anything I shouldn't have. Marshalling forces to fight in the limited way we can fight, knowing that the battle is being raged far away from us. What else can I do?
Pause. Dumbledore says nothing.
Where have you been, Dumbledore?
Dumbledore.
I'm here now.
Harry.
Here just as the battle is lost? Or are you denying that Voldemort is going to return?
Dumbledore.
It is possible.
Harry.
Go. Leave. I don't want you here. I don't need you. You were absent every time it really counted. I fought him 3 times without you. I'll face him again, if needs be. Alone.
Dumbledore.
Harry, don't you think I wanted to fight him on your behalf? I would have spared you if I could.
Harry.
Love blinds us? Do you even know what that means? Do you even know how bad that advice was? My son is fighting a battle for us just as I had to for you, and I have proved as bad a father to him as you were to me, leaving him in places he felt unloved, growing in him resentments he'll take years to understand.
Dumbledore.
If you're referring to Privet Drive, then...
Harry.
Years I spent there alone, without knowing what I was or why I was there, without knowing that anyone cared.
Dumbledore.
I did not wish to become attached to you.
Harry.
Protecting yourself even then?
Dumbledore.
No, I was protecting you. I did not want to hurt you.
Dumbledore attempts to reach out of the portrait, but he can't. He begins to cry, but tries to hide it.
But I had to meet you in the end. 11 years old, and you were so brave, so good. You walked uncomplainingly along the path that had been laid at your feet. Of course I loved you, and I knew that it would happen all over again, that where I loved I would cause irreparable damage. I am no fit person to love. I have never loved without causing harm.
Beat. Harry.
You would have hurt me less if you had told me this then.
Dumbledore. Openly weeping now.
I was blind. That is what love does. I couldn't see that you needed to hear that this closed-up, tricky, dangerous old man loved you.
A pause. The two men are overcome with emotion. Harry.
It isn't true that I never complained.
Dumbledore.
Harry, there is never a perfect answer in this messy, emotional world. Perfection is beyond the reach of humankind, beyond the reach of magic. In every shining moment of happiness is that drop of poison, the knowledge that pain will come again. Be honest to those you love. Show your pain. To suffer is as human as to breathe.
Harry. You said that to me once before. Dumbledore.
It is all I have to offer you tonight.
He begins to walk away. Harry.
Don't go.
Dumbledore.
Those that we love never truly leave us, Harry. There are things that death cannot touch. Paint and memory and love.
Harry.
I loved you too, Dumbledore.
Dumbledore.
I know.
He is gone, and Harry is alone. Draco enters. Draco.
Did you know that in this other reality, the reality Scorpius saw into, I was head of magical law enforcement? Maybe this room will be mine soon enough. Are you okay?
Harry is consumed in his grief. Harry, come in, I'll give you the tour. Draco walks hesitantly inside the room. He looks around distastefully. Draco,
the thing is, though, I never really fancied being a ministry man. Even as a child, my dad, it's all he ever wanted. Me? No.
Harry, what did you want to do? Draco,
Quidditch, but I wasn't good enough. Mainly, I wanted to be happy.
Harry nods. Draco looks at him a second more.
Sorry, I'm not very good at small talk. Do you mind if we skip on to the serious business?
Harry,
of course. What serious business?
Beat. Draco,
do you think Theodore Nott had the only time-turner?
Harry,
what?
Draco,
the time-turner the Ministry seized was a prototype, made of inexpensive metal. It does the job, sure, but only being able to go back in time for 5 minutes, that's a serious flaw. It isn't something you'd sell to true collectors of dark magic.
Harry realizes what Draco is saying. Harry,
he was working for you.
Draco,
no, my father. He liked owning things that no one else had. The Ministry's time-turners, thanks to Croker, were always a little vanilla for him. He wanted the ability to go back further than an hour. He wanted the ability to travel back years. He'd never have used it. Secretly, I think he preferred a world without Voldemort. But yes, the time-turner was built for him.
Harry,
and did you keep it?
Draco reveals the time-turner. Draco,
no 5 minute problem. And it gleams like gold, just the way the Malfoys like it. You're smiling.
Harry,
Hermione Granger. It was the reason she kept the first, the fear that there might be a second. Hanging on to this, you could have been sent to Azkaban.
Draco,
consider the alternative. Consider if people had known that I had the ability to travel in time. Consider the rumour that would have been given increased credence.
Harry looks at Draco, understanding him perfectly. Harry,
Scorpius.
Draco,
we were capable of having children, but Astoria was frail. A blood malediction, a serious one. An ancestor was cursed. It showed up in her. You know how these things can resurface after generations.
Harry,
I'm sorry, Draco.
Draco,
I didn't want to risk her health. I said it didn't matter whether the Malfoy line died with me, whatever my father said. But Astoria, she didn't want a baby for the Malfoy name, for pure blood or glory, but for us. Our child, Scorpius, was born. It was the best day of both our lives, although it weakened Astoria considerably. We hid ourselves away, the three of us. I wanted to conserve her strength. And so the rumours started.
Harry,
I can't imagine what that was like.
Draco,
Astoria always knew that she was not destined for old age. She wanted me to have somebody when she left, because it is exceptionally lonely being Draco Malfoy. I will always be suspected. There is no escaping the past. I never realised, though, that by hiding him away from this gossiping, judgmental world, I ensured that my son would emerge shrouded in worse suspicion than I ever endured.
Harry,
love blinds. We have both tried to give our sons not what they needed, but what we needed. We've been so busy trying to rewrite our own pasts, we've blighted their present.
Draco,
which is why you need this. I've been holding on to it, barely resisting using it, even though I would sell my soul for another minute with Astoria.
Harry,
oh, Draco, we can't. We can't use it.
Draco looks up at Harry, and for the first time, at the bottom of this dreadful pit, they look at each other as friends.
Draco, we have to find them. If it takes centuries, we must find our sons.
Harry,
we have no idea where they are or when they are. Searching in time when you've no idea where in time to search, that's a fool's errand. No, love won't do it, and nor will a time-turner, I'm afraid. It's up to our sons now. They're the only ones who can save us. Act 4, Scene 5. Godric's Hollow. Outside James and Lily Potter's house. 1981. Albus.
We tell my grandad and grandma.
Scorpius.
That they'll never get to see their son grow up.
Albus.
She's strong enough. I know she is. You saw her.
Scorpius.
She looked wonderful, Albus, and if I were you, I'd be desperate to talk to her. But she needs to be able to beg Voldemort for Harry's life. She needs to think he might die. And you're the worst spoiler in the world. That didn't turn out to be true.
Albus.
Dumbledore. Dumbledore's alive. We get Dumbledore involved. We do what you did with Snape.
Scorpius.
Can we risk him knowing your dad survives? That he has kids?
Albus.
He's Dumbledore. He can cope with anything.
Scorpius.
Albus, there have been about 100 books written on what Dumbledore knew, how he knew it all, why he did what he did. But what's undoubtedly true, what he did, he needs to do, and I'm not going to risk messing with it. I was able to ask for help because I was in an alternate reality. We aren't. We're in the past. We can't fix time only to create more problems. If our adventures have taught us anything, they've taught us that. The dangers of talking to anyone, infecting time, are too great.
Albus.
So we need to talk to the future. We need to send Dad a message.
Scorpius.
But we don't have an owl that can fly through time, and he doesn't have a time turner.
Albus.
We get a message to Dad. He'll find a way to get back here, even if he has to build a time turner himself.
Scorpius.
We send a memory, like a pensieve. Stand over him and send a message. Hope he reaches for the memory at exactly the right moment. I mean, it's unlikely, but stand over the baby and just repeatedly shout, "Help! Help! Help!" I mean, it might traumatise the baby slightly.
Albus. Only slightly. Scorpius.
A bit of trauma now is nothing compared to what's happening, and maybe when he then thinks later, he might remember the faces of us as we shouted.
Albus.
Help.
Scorpius looks at Albus. Scorpius.
You're right. It's a terrible idea.
Albus.
It's one of your worst ideas ever.
Scorpius.
Got it. We deliver it ourselves. We wait 40 years, we deliver it.
Albus.
Not a chance. Once Delphi has set time the way she wants, she'll send armies to try and find us. Kill us.
Scorpius.
So we hide in a hole.
Albus.
As pleasurable as it will be to hide in a hole with you for the next 40 years. They'll find us. And we'll die and time will be stuck in the wrong position. No, we need something we can control. Something we know he'll get at exactly the right time. We need a...
Scorpius.
There's nothing. Still, if I had to choose a companion to be at the return of eternal darkness with, I'd choose you.
Albus. No offence, but I choose someone massive and really good at magic. Lily exits the house with baby Harry in a pram. She carefully puts a blanket on him.
His blanket? She's wrapping him in his blanket.
Scorpius.
Well, it is a moderately cold day.
Albus.
He always said it's the only thing he had from her. Look at the love with which she's put it on him. I think he'd like to know about that. I wish I could tell him.
Scorpius.
And I wish I could tell my dad. Well, I'm not sure what. I think I'd like to tell him that I'm occasionally capable of more bravery than he might think I am.
Albus has a thought. Albus.
Scorpius. My dad still has that blanket.
Scorpius.
That won't work. If we write a message on it now, even really small, he'll read it too soon. Time will be spoilt.
Albus.
What do you know about love potions? What's the ingredient they all contain?
Scorpius.
Amongst other things, pearl dust.
Albus.
Pearl dust is a relatively rare ingredient, isn't it?
Scorpius.
Mainly because it's pretty expensive. What's this about, Albus?
Albus. Dad and I had a fight on the day before I went to school. Scorpius.
This I am aware of. I believe it kind of got us into this mess.
Albus. I threw the blanket across the room. It collided with the love potion that Uncle Ron gave me as a joke.
Scorpius. He's a funny guy.
Albus. The potion spilled and the blanket was covered in it, and I happen to know for a fact Mum hasn't let Dad touch that room since I left.
Scorpius.
So?
Albus.
So it's coming up to Hallows Eve in their time as well as ours, and he told me he always finds that blanket, he needs to be with it, on Hallows Eve. It was the last thing his mum gave him, so he will look for it, and when he finds it...
Scorpius.
No, still not getting you.
Albus.
What reacts with pearl dust?
Scorpius.
Well, it is said that if tincture of demiguys and pearl dust meet, they burn.
Albus.
And is tincture of...
He's unsure how to say the word...
Demiguis visible to the naked eye?
Scorpius.
No.
Albus.
So if we were to get that blanket and write on it in tincture of demiguis, then...
Scorpius. Eureka.
Nothing would react to it until it came into contact with the love potion. In your room. In the present. By Dumbledore, I love it.
Albus.
We just need to work out where to find some... demiguises.
Scorpius.
You know, rumour has it Batilda Bagshot never saw the point in witches and wizards locking their doors.
The door swings open.
Rumour was right. Time to steal some wands and get potioning.
Act 4, Scene 6. Harry and Ginny Potter's house. Albus's room. Harry is sitting on Albus's bed. Ginny enters. She looks at him. Ginny.
Surprised to find you here.
Harry. Don't worry, I haven't touched anything. Your shrine is preserved. He winces. Sorry, bad choice of words. Ginny says nothing. Harry looks up at her.
You know, I've had some pretty terrible Hallows Eves, but this is undoubtedly at least the second worst.
Ginny.
I was wrong to blame you. I always accuse you of jumping to things, and it was me who... Albus went missing, and I assumed it was your fault. I'm sorry I did that.
Harry.
You don't think this is my fault?
Ginny.
Harry, he was kidnapped by a powerful dark witch. How can that be your fault?
Harry.
I chased him away. I chased him to her.
Ginny.
Can we not treat this as if the battle is already lost?
Ginny nods. Harry starts to cry. Harry.
I'm sorry, Gin.
Ginny.
Are you not listening to me? I'm sorry too.
Harry.
I shouldn't have survived. It was my destiny to die. Even Dumbledore thought so. And yet I lived. I beat Voldemort. All these people. All these people. My parents, Fred, the Fallen 50... Then it's me that gets to live. How is that? All this damage, and it's my fault.
Ginny.
They were killed by Voldemort.
Harry.
But if I'd stopped him sooner, all that blood on my hands, and now our son has been taken too.
Ginny.
He's not dead. Do you hear me, Harry? He's not dead.
She takes Harry in her arms. There is a big pause filled with pure unhappiness. Harry.
The boy who lived. How many people have to die for the boy who lived?
Harry sways a moment, unsure. Then he notices the blanket. He walks towards it.
This blanket is all I have, you know, of that Hallows Eve. This is all I have to remember them. And whilst...
He picks up the blanket. He discovers it has holes in it. He looks at it. Dismayed.
This has got holes in it. Ron's idiotic love potion has burnt through it, right through it. Look at this. It's ruined. Ruined.
He opens up the blanket. He sees writing burnt through it. He's surprised.
What?
Ginny.
Harry, it has something written.
On another part of the stage, Albus and Scorpius appear. Albus.
Dad.
Scorpius.
We're starting with Dad.
Albus.
So he'll know it's from me. Scorpius. Harry is his name. We should start with Harry.
Albus, firm.
We're starting with Dad.
Harry.
Dad? Does it say Dad? It's not that distinct.
Scorpius.
Dad. Help!
Ginny.
Hello? Does that say hello and then good?
Harry.
Dad, hello, good, hello. No, this is a strange joke.
Albus.
Dad, help. Godric's Hollow.
Ginny.
Give me that. My eyesight is better than yours. Yes. Dad, hello, good. That's not hello again. That's hallow or hollow. And then some numbers. These are clearer. 3111081. Is this one of those muggle telephone numbers, or a grid reference, or a...
Harry looks up, several thoughts smashing through his brain at once. Harry,
no, it's a date. 31st of October, 1981. The date my parents were killed.
Ginny looks at Harry, and then back at the blanket. Ginny.
That doesn't say hello. It says help.
Harry.
Dad, help. Godric's Hollow, 31, 10, 81. It's a message. Clever boy left me a message.
Harry kisses Ginny hard. Ginny.
Albus wrote this.
Harry.
And he's told me where they are and when they are. And now we know where she is, we know where we can fight her.
He kisses her hard again.
Ginny. We haven't got them back again yet.
Harry.
I'll send an owl to Hermione. You send one to Draco. Tell them to meet us at Godric's Hollow with the Time Turner.
Ginny.
And it is us, okay? Don't even think about going back without me, Harry.
Harry.
Of course you're coming. We have a chance, Ginny. And by Dumbledore, that's all we need. A chance.
Act 4, Scene 7. Godric's Hollow. Ron, Hermione, Draco, Harry and Ginny walk through a present-day Godric's Hollow, a busy market town. It's expanded over the years. Hermione.
Godric's Hollow. It must be 20 years.
Ginny.
Is it just me, or are there more muggles about?
Hermione.
It's become quite popular as a weekend break.
Draco.
I can see why. Look at the thatched roofs. And is that a farmer's market?
Hermione approaches Harry, who is looking around himself, overwhelmed by all he is seeing. Hermione.
You remember when we were last here? This feels just like old times.
Ron.
Old times with a few unwelcome ponytails added to the mix.
Draco knows a barb when he hears one. Draco.
Can I just say?
Ron.
Malfoy, you may be all chummy-chummy with Harry, and you may have produced a relatively nice child, but you've said some very unfair things too, and about my wife.
Hermione.
And your wife doesn't need you fighting her battles for her.
Hermione looks witheringly at Ron. Ron takes the hit. Ron.
Fine, but if you say one thing about her or me...
Draco.
You'll do what, Weasley?
Hermione.
He'll hug you. Because we're all on the same team, aren't we, Ron?
Ron, hesitating in the face of her unwavering gaze.
Fine. I think you've got really nice hair, Draco.
Hermione.
Thank you, husband. Now this seems a good spot. Let's do this.
Draco takes out the time turner. It begins spinning wildly as the others take their places around it. And there is a giant whoosh of light, a smash of noise, and time stops. And then it turns over, thinks a bit, and begins spooling backwards, slow at first. And then it speeds up. They look around themselves. Ron.
So? Has it worked?
Act 4, Scene 8. Godric's Hollow, a shed, 1981. Albus looks up, amazed to see Ginny and then Harry, and then he takes in the rest of the happy band, Ron, Draco and Hermione. Albus.
Mum?
Harry.
Albus Severus Potter, are we pleased to see you?
Albus runs and throws himself into Ginny's arms. Ginny receives him, delighted. Albus.
You got our note?
Ginny.
We got your note.
Scorpius trots up to his dad. Draco.
We can hug too, if you like.
Scorpius looks at his dad, unsure for a moment, and then they sort of half-hug in a very awkward way. Draco smiles. Ron.
Now, where's this Delphi?
Scorpius.
You know about Delphi?
Albus.
She's here. She's trying to kill you, we think, before Voldemort curses himself. She's going to kill you and so break the prophecy and...
Hermione.
Yes, we thought that might be it too. Do you know where specifically she is now?
Scorpius.
She's disappeared. How did you... without the time turner?
Harry, interrupting. That's a long and complicated story, Scorpius, and we don't have time for it. Draco smiles at Harry gratefully. Hermione.
Harry's right. Time is of the essence. We need to get people into position. Now, Godric's Hollow is not a large place, but she could be coming from any direction. So we need somewhere that gives us good views of the town, that allows for multiple and clear observation points, and that will, most importantly, keep us hidden, because we cannot risk being seen.
They all frown, thinking.
I'd say St. Jerome's Church ticks all those boxes, wouldn't you?
Act 4, Scene 9. Godric's Hollow, Church, Sanctuary, 1981. Albus is sleeping in a pew. Ginny watches him carefully. Harry is looking out the opposite window. Harry.
No. Nothing. Why isn't she here?
Ginny.
We're together. Your mum and dad are alive. We can turn time, Harry. We can't speed it up. She'll come when she's ready and we'll be ready for her.
She looks at Albus's sleeping form.
Or some of us will be.
Harry.
Poor kid, thought he had to save the world.
Ginny.
Poor kid has saved the world. That blanket was masterful. I mean, he also almost destroyed the world, but probably best not to focus on that bit.
Harry.
You think he's okay?
Ginny.
He's getting there. It just might take him a bit of time. And you a bit of time too.
Harry smiles. She looks back at Albus. He does too.
You know, after I'd opened the Chamber of Secrets, after Voldemort had bewitched me with that terrible diary and had almost destroyed everything.
Harry.
I remember.
Ginny.
After I came out of hospital, everyone ignored me, shut me out. Other than, that is, the boy who had everything, who came across the Gryffindor common room and challenged me to a game of exploding snap. People think they know all there is to know about you, but the best bits of you have always been heroic in really quiet ways. My point is, after this is over, just remember, if you could, that sometimes people, but particularly children, just want someone to play exploding snap with.
Harry.
You think that's what we're missing?
Exploding snap? Ginny.
No. But the love I felt from you that day. I'm not sure Albus feels that.
Harry.
I'd do anything for him.
Ginny.
Harry, you'd do anything for anybody. You were pretty happy to sacrifice yourself for the world. He needs to feel specific love. It'll make him stronger, and you stronger too.
Harry.
You know, it wasn't until we thought Albus had gone that I truly understood what my mother was able to do for me. A countercharm so powerful that it was able to repel the spell of death.
Ginny.
And the only spell Voldemort couldn't understand. Love.
Harry.
I do love him specifically, Ginny.
Ginny.
I know, but he needs to feel it.
Harry.
I'm lucky to have you, aren't I?
Ginny.
Extremely. And I'd be delighted to discuss just how lucky at another time, but for now, let's focus on stopping Delphi.
Harry. We are running out of time. A thought occurs to Ginny. Ginny.
Unless... Harry, has anyone thought... Why has she picked now? Today?
Harry.
Because this is the day that everything changed.
Ginny.
Right, now you're over a year old, am I right?
Harry. A year and 3 months. Ginny.
That's a year and 3 months she could have killed you in. Even now, she's been in Godric's Hollow for 24 hours. What's she waiting for?
Harry. I'm still not entirely following. Ginny.
What if she's not waiting for you? She's waiting for him. To stop him.
Harry. What? Ginny.
Delphi's picked tonight because he's here, because her father is coming. She wants to meet him, be with him, the father she loves. Voldemort's problem started when he attacked you. If he hadn't done that,
Harry, he'd have only got more powerful. The darkness would only have got darker. Ginny,
the best way to break the prophecy is not to kill Harry Potter. It's to stop Voldemort doing anything at all.
Act 4, Scene 10. Godric's Hollow. Church, 1981. The group are gathered and full of confusion. Ron.
So let me get this right. We're fighting to protect Voldemort.
Albus.
Voldemort killing my grandparents. Voldemort trying to kill my dad.
Hermione.
Of course, Ginny. Delphi's not trying to kill Harry. She's stopping Voldemort trying to kill Harry.
Brilliant.
Draco.
So, we just wait until Voldemort turns up.
Albus.
Does she know when he turns up? Hasn't she come here 24 hours early because she isn't sure when he'll arrive and in what direction? The history books, correct me if I'm wrong, Scorpius, show nothing about when and how he arrived in Godric's Hollow.
Scorpius and Hermione.
You're not wrong.
Ron.
Blimey. There are two of them.
Draco.
So how can we use this to our advantage?
Albus.
Do you know what I'm really good at?
Harry.
There's plenty you're good at, Albus.
Albus.
Polyjuicing. And I think Batilda Bagshot may have all the ingredients for polyjuice in her basement. We can polyjuice into Voldemort and bring her to us.
Ron.
To use polyjuice, you need a bit of someone. We don't have a bit of Voldemort.
Hermione.
But I like the concept. A pretend mouse for her cat.
Harry.
How close can we get through Transfiguration?
Hermione.
We know what he looks like. We've got some excellent wizards and witches here.
Ginny.
You want to transfigure into Voldemort?
Albus.
It's the only way.
Hermione.
It is, isn't it?
Ron steps forward bravely. Ron.
Then I would like to... I think I should be him. I mean, it won't be exactly nice being Voldemort, but without wishing to blow my own trumpet, I'm probably the most chilled out of all of us, and so maybe transfiguring into him, into the Dark Lord, will do less damage to me than any of you more intense people.
Harry steps away, introspective. Hermione.
Who are you calling intense?
Draco.
I'd also like to volunteer. I think being Voldemort requires precision. No offence, Ron. And a knowledge of dark magic and...
Hermione.
And I'd like to volunteer too. As Minister for Magic, I think it's my responsibility and right.
Scorpius.
Maybe we should draw lots.
Draco.
You're not volunteering, Scorpius.
Albus.
Actually...
Ginny. No.
No way. I think you're all mad. I know what that voice is like inside your head. I won't have it in mine again.
Harry. And anyway, it has to be me. Everyone turns to Harry. Draco.
What?
Harry. For this plan to work, she has to believe it's him, without hesitation. She'll use Parseltongue, and I knew there was a reason why I still have that ability. But more than that, I know what it is to feel like him. I know what it is to be him. It has to be me.
Ron.
Rubbish. Beautifully put, but beautiful rubbish. No way are you going to...
Hermione.
I'm afraid you're right, my old friend.
Ron.
Hermione, you're wrong. Voldemort is not something to be. Harry should not...
Ginny.
And I hate to agree with my brother, but...
Ron.
He could get stuck as Voldemort forever.
Hermione.
So could any of us. Your concerns are valid, but...
Harry.
Hang on, Hermione. Gin.
Ginny and Harry make eye contact. I won't do it if you don't want me to. But it feels like the only way to me. Am I wrong? Ginny thinks for a moment and then softly nods. Harry's face hardens. Ginny.
You're right.
Harry. Then let's do this. Draco.
Don't we need to discuss the route you're taking, the...
Harry. She's watching for him. She'll come to me. Draco.
And then what? When she's with you, may I remind you this is a very powerful witch?
Ron. Easy. He gets her in here. We zap her together. Draco.
Zap her?
Hermione looks around the room. Hermione.
We'll hide behind these doors. If you can get her to this point, Harry...
She indicates the point where the light from the church's rose window hits the floor.
Then we come out and make sure he has no chance to escape.
Ron, with a look to Draco.
And then we'll zap her.
Hermione.
Harry, last chance. Are you sure you can do this?
Harry.
Yes, I can do this.
Draco.
No, there's too many what-ifs. Too many things that can go wrong. The transfiguration could not hold. She could see through it. If she escapes us now, there's no telling the damage she can do. We need time to properly plan to...
Albus.
Draco, trust my dad. He won't let us down.
Harry looks at Albus, moved. Hermione.
Wands.
Everyone withdraws their wands. Harry clasps his. There is a light that builds, that overwhelms. The transfiguration is slow and monstrous, and the form of Voldemort emerges from Harry, and it's horrendous. He turns, he looks around his friends and family. They look back, aghast. Ron.
Bloody hell.
Harry as Voldemort.
It worked then.
Ginny, gravely.
Yes, it worked.
Act 4, Scene 11, Godric's Hollow, Church, 1981. Ron, Hermione, Draco, Scorpius and Albus stand at the window, looking out. Ginny can't look. She sits further back. Albus notices his mum sitting apart. He walks over to her. Albus.
It's going to be okay. You know that, mum.
Ginny.
I know it is. Or I hope I do. I just don't want to see him like that. The man I love, shrouded in the man I hate.
Albus sits beside his mum. Albus.
I liked her, mum. You know that. I really liked her. Delphi. And she was Voldemort's daughter.
Ginny.
That's what they're good at, Albus. Catching innocents in their web.
Albus.
This is all my fault.
Ginny takes Albus in her arms. Ginny.
How funny. Your dad seems to think it's all his. Strange pair you are.
Scorpius.
That's her! That's her! She's seen him!
Hermione.
Positions. Everybody. And remember, don't come out until he's got her in the light. We've one shot at this. We don't want to mess it up.
They all move fast. Draco.
Hermione Granger. I'm being bossed around by Hermione Granger.
She turns towards him. He smiles.
And I'm mildly enjoying it.
Scorpius.
Dad?
They scatter. They hide behind two major doors. Harry as Voldemort re-enters the church. He walks a few paces and then he turns. Harry as Voldemort.
Whichever witch or wizard is following me, I assure you, you will regret it.
Delphi emerges behind him. She is compelled to him. This is her father, and this is the moment she's waited for her entire life. Delphi.
Lord Voldemort, it is me. I am following you.
Harry as Voldemort.
I do not know you. Leave me.
She breathes deeply. Delphi.
I am your daughter.
Harry as Voldemort.
If you were my daughter, I'd know of you.
Delphi looks at him imploringly. Delphi.
I'm from the future. The child of Bellatrix Lestrange and you. I was born in Malfoy Manor before the Battle of Hogwarts. A battle you are going to lose. I have come to save you.
Harry, as Voldemort turns, she meets his eyes.
It was Rodolphus Lestrange, Bellatrix's loyal husband, who on return from Azkaban told me who I was and revealed the prophecy he thought I was destined to fulfil. I am your daughter, sir.
Harry, as Voldemort.
I am familiar with Bellatrix, and there are certain similarities in your face, though you haven't inherited the best of her. But without proof.
Delphi speaks intently in Parseltongue. Harry, as Voldemort, laughs viciously.
That's your proof.
Delphi effortlessly rises into the air. Harry, as Voldemort, steps back, amazed. Delphi,
I am the augury to your Dark Lord, and I am ready to give all that I have to serve you.
Harry, as Voldemort, trying not to show his shock.
You learnt flight from me.
Delphi,
and I have tried to follow the path you set.
Harry, as Voldemort.
I have never met a witch or wizard who's attempted to be my equal before.
Delphi,
do not mistake me. I would not claim to be worthy of you, Lord, but I have devoted my life to being a child you could be proud of.
Harry, as Voldemort, interrupting.
I see what you are, and I see what you could be, daughter.
She looks at him, desperately moved. Delphi.
Father.
Harry, as Voldemort.
Together, the power we could wield.
Delphi.
Father.
Harry, as Voldemort.
Come here, in the light, so I may examine what my blood made.
Delphi.
Your mission is a mistake. Attacking Harry Potter is a mistake. He will destroy you.
Harry, as Voldemort's hand turns into Harry's hand. He looks at it, astonished and dismayed, and then quickly pulls it inside his sleeve. Harry, as Voldemort.
He is a baby.
Delphi.
He has his mother's love. Your spell will rebound, destroying you and making him too powerful and you too weak. You will recover to spend the next 17 years consumed in a battle with him, a battle you will lose.
Harry, as Voldemort's hair begins to sprout, he feels it. He attempts to cover it. He pulls his hood over his head. Harry, as Voldemort.
Then I won't attack him. You are right.
Delphi.
Father?
Harry, as Voldemort, shrinks down. He is now more Harry than Voldemort. He turns his back to Delphi.
Father?
Harry, trying desperately to still sound like Voldemort.
Your plan is a good one. The fight is off. You have served me well. Now come here into the light so I may examine you.
Delphi sees a door slightly sway open and then be pulled shut. She frowns at it, thinking rapidly, her suspicion growing. Delphi.
Father?
She tries to get a glimpse of his face again. There is almost a dance happening here.
You are not Lord Voldemort.
Delphi unleashes a bolt from her hand. Harry matches her.
Incendio!
Harry.
Incendio!
The bolts meet in a beautiful explosion in the middle of the room, and with her other hand, Delphi sends bolts to both doors as the others try to open them. Delphi.
Potter! Colloportus!
Harry looks at the doors, dismayed.
What? Thought your friends were going to join you, did you?
Hermione from off.
Harry! Harry!
Ginny from off.
She sealed the doors from your side.
Harry.
Fine. I'll deal with you alone.
He moves to attack her again, but she is far stronger. Harry's wand descends towards her. He is disarmed.
He is helpless. How did you... What are you?
Delphi. I've watched you for a long time, Harry Potter. I know you better than my father did.
Harry. You think you've learnt my weaknesses?
Delphi. I've studied to be worthy of him. Yes, even though he is the supreme wizard of all time, he will be proud of me.
Exposo! Harry rolls away as the floor explodes behind him. He crawls frantically under a church pew, trying to work out how he can fight her.
Are you crawling away from me, Harry Potter, hero of the wizarding world, crawling away like a rat?
Wingardium Leviosa!
The church pew ascends into the air.
The question is whether it's worth my time to kill you, knowing that as soon as I stop my father, your destruction will be assured. How to decide? Oh, I'm bored. I'll kill you.
She sends the pew hard down upon him. It smashes as he rolls desperately away. Albus emerges from a grate on the floor. Neither notice.
Avada!
Albus. Dad!
Harry.
Albus, no!
Delphi.
Two of you, choices, choices. I think I'll kill the boy first. Avada Kedavra!
She fires the killing curse at Albus, but Harry throws him out of the way. The bolt smashes into the ground. He fires a bolt back.
You think you're stronger than me?
Harry. No, I'm not. They fire bolts mercilessly at each other as Albus rolls quickly away and slams a spell into one door and then another.
But we are.
Albus opens both doors with his wand.
Albus. Alohomora! Alohomora!
Harry. I've never fought alone, you see, and I never will. Hermione, Ron, Ginny and Draco emerge from the doors and fire up their spells at Delphi, who screams out in exasperation, "This is Titanic," but she can't fight them all. There are a series of bangs, and then, overwhelmed, Delphi tumbles down to the floor.
Delphi, "No! No!"
Hermione,
"Brachia Bindo!"
She's bound. Harry advances towards Delphi. He doesn't take his eyes off her. All the others stay back.
Harry. Albus, are you okay?
Albus.
Yes, Dad, I'm okay.
Harry still doesn't take his eyes off Delphi. He's still scared of her.
Harry. Ginny, has he been injured? I need to know he's safe.
Ginny.
He insisted. He was the only one small enough to crawl through the grate. I try to stop him.
Harry.
Just tell me he's okay.
Albus.
I'm fine, Dad, I promise.
Harry keeps advancing towards Delphi.
Harry. A lot of people have tried to hurt me. But my son! You dare hurt my son!
Delphi.
I only wanted to know my father.
These words take Harry by surprise.
Harry. You can't remake your life. You'll always be an orphan. That never leaves you.
Delphi.
Just let me see him.
Harry.
I can't and I won't.
Delphi, truly pitiful.
Then kill me.
Harry thinks a moment.
Harry. I can't do that either.
Albus.
What? Dad! She's dangerous.
Harry.
No, Albus.
Albus.
But she's a murderer. I've seen her murder.
Harry turns and looks at his son, and then at Ginny.
Harry. Yes, Albus. She's a murderer. And we're not.
Hermione.
We have to be better than them.
Ron.
Yeah. It's annoying, but it's what we learnt.
Delphi.
Take my mind. Take my memory. Make me forget who I am.
Ron.
No. We'll take you back to our time.
Hermione.
And you'll go to Azkaban. Same as your mother.
Draco.
Where you'll rot.
Harry hears a noise. A hissing noise. And then there is a noise like death. A noise like nothing else we've heard before.
Harry Potter.
Scorpius.
What's that?
Harry.
No, no, not yet.
Albus.
What?
Ron.
Voldemort.
Delphi.
Father.
Hermione.
Now. Here.
Delphi.
Father.
Draco.
Silencio!
Delphi is gagged.
Wingardium Leviosa!
She is sent upwards and away. Harry.
He's coming. He's coming right now.
Voldemort comes through the back of stage and across it and walks down into the auditorium. He brings death with him, and everyone knows it. Act 4, Scene 12. Godric's Hollow, 1981. Harry looks after Voldemort helplessly. Harry.
Voldemort is going to kill my mum and dad, and there's nothing I can do to stop him.
Draco.
That's not true.
Scorpius.
Dad, now is not the time.
Albus.
There is something you could do to stop him, but you won't.
Draco.
That's heroic.
Ginny takes Harry's hand. Ginny.
You don't have to watch, Harry. We can go home.
Harry.
I'm letting it happen. Of course I have to watch.
Hermione.
Then we'll all witness it.
Ron.
We'll all watch.
We hear unfamiliar voices. James from offstage.
Lily. Take Harry and go.
It's him. Go. Run. I'll hold him off.
There is a blast and then a laugh.
You keep away. You understand? You keep away.
Voldemort from offstage.
Avada Kedavra.
Harry flinches as green light flashes around the auditorium. Albus takes his hand. Harry grasps hold of it. He needs it. Albus.
He did everything he could.
Ginny rises beside Harry and takes his other hand. He leans into them. They're holding him up now. Harry.
That's my mum. At the window. I can see my mother. She looks beautiful.
There's the sound of banging as doors are blasted off. Lily from offstage.
Not Harry. Not Harry, please, not Harry.
Voldemort from offstage.
Stand aside, you silly girl. Stand aside now.
Lily from offstage.
Not Harry, please, no, take me, kill me instead.
Voldemort from offstage.
This is my last warning.
Lily from offstage.
Not Harry, please. Have mercy, not my son. Please, I'll do anything.
Voldemort from offstage.
Avada Kedavra!
And it is like lightning passes through Harry's body. He's sent to the floor, a pure mess of grief. And a noise like a shrunken scream descends and ascends around us. And we just watch. And slowly what was there is no longer there. And the stage transforms and rotates. And Harry and his family and his friends are rotated off and away. Act 4, Scene 13. Godric's Hollow, inside James and Lily Potter's house, 1981. And we're in the ruins of a house that has undergone a vicious attack. Hagrid walks through the ruins. Hagrid.
James!
He looks about himself.
Lily!
He walks slowly, unwilling to see too much too soon. He is entirely overwhelmed. And then he sees them. And he stops, and he says nothing.
Oh. Oh. That's
not...
That's not... I weren't... They told me, but... I were hoping for better.
He looks at them and bows his head. He mutters a few words and then takes some crumpled flowers from his deep pockets and lays them on the floor.
I'm sorry. They told me. He told me. Dumbledore told me I can't wait with you. And muggles are coming, you see, with their flashing blues, and they won't appreciate a big lummox like me, would they?
He lets out a sob.
Hard though it is to leave you, I want you to know, you won't be forgotten. Not by me, not by any folk.
And then he hears a sound, the sound of a baby snuffling. Hagrid turns towards it, walking with more intensity now. He looks down and stands over the crib, which seems to radiate light.
Well, hello. You must be Harry. Hello, Harry Potter. I'm Rubeus Hagrid, and I'm going to be your friend whether you like it or not, because you've had it tough, not that you know it yet, and you're going to need friends. Now you best come with me, don't you think?
As flashing blue lights fill the room, giving it an almost ethereal glow, he lifts Harry gently into his arms. And then, without looking back, he strides away through the house. And we descend into soft black. Act 4, Scene 14, Hogwarts Classroom. Scorpius and Albus run into a room, full of excitement. They slam the door after themselves. Scorpius:
I can't quite believe I did that.
Albus:
I can't believe you did that either.
Scorpius:
Rose Granger Weasley. I asked out Rose Granger Weasley.
Albus: And she said no. Scorpius:
But I asked her. I planted the acorn. The acorn that will grow into our eventual marriage.
Albus:
You are aware that you're an utter fantasist.
Scorpius:
And I'd agree with you, only Polly Chapman did ask me to the school ball.
Albus:
In an alternate reality where you were significantly, really significantly more popular, a different girl asked you out, and that means...
Scorpius:
And yes, logic would dictate I should be pursuing Polly or allowing her to pursue me. She's a notorious beauty, after all. But a rose is a rose.
Albus:
You know logic would dictate that you're a freak. Rose hates you.
Scorpius:
Correction, she used to hate me. But did you see the look in her eyes when I asked? That wasn't hate. That was pity.
Albus: And pity's good? Scorpius:
Pity is a start, my friend. A foundation on which to build a palace. A palace of love.
Albus:
I honestly thought I'd be the first of us to get a girlfriend.
Scorpius:
Oh, you will, undoubtedly. Probably the new smoky-eyed potions professor. She's old enough for you, right?
Albus:
I don't have a thing about older women.
Scorpius:
And you've got time, a lot of time, to seduce her, because Rose is going to take years to persuade.
Albus:
I admire your confidence.
Rose comes past them on the stairs. She looks at them both. Rose:
Hi.
Neither boy knows quite how to reply. She looks at Scorpius. Rose:
This is only going to be weird if you let it be weird.
Scorpius:
Received and entirely understood.
Rose:
Okay. Scorpion King.
She walks off with a smile on her face. Scorpius and Albus look at each other. Albus grins and punches Scorpius on the arm. Albus:
Maybe you're right. Pity is a start.
Scorpius:
Are you heading to Quidditch? Slytherin are playing Hufflepuff. It's a big one.
Albus:
I thought we hated Quidditch.
Scorpius:
People can change. Besides, I've been practicing. I think I might make the team eventually. Come on.
Albus:
I can't. My dad's arranged to come up.
Scorpius:
He's taking time away from the ministry.
Albus:
He wants to go on a walk. Something to show me. Share with me. Something.
Scorpius:
A walk?
Albus:
I know. I think it's a bonding thing or something similarly vomit-inducing. Still, you know, I think I'll go.
Scorpius reaches in and hugs Albus.
What's this? I thought we'd decided we don't hug.
Scorpius:
I wasn't sure whether we should. In this new version of us I had in my head.
Albus:
Better ask Rose if it's the right thing to do.
Scorpius:
Ha! Yeah, right.
The two boys dislocate and grin at each other. Albus. I'll see you at dinner. Act 4, Scene 15. A beautiful hill. Harry and Albus walk up a hill on a beautiful summer's day. They say nothing, enjoying the sun on their faces as they climb. Harry. So are you ready? Albus. For what? Harry. Well, there's the fourth year exams, and then the fifth year. Big year. In my fifth year, I did... He looks at Albus. He smiles. He talks quickly. I did a lot of stuff. Some of it good, some of it bad. A lot of it quite confusing. Albus. Good to know. Harry smiles. I got to watch them, you know, for a bit. Your mum and dad. They were... You had fun together. Your dad used to love to do this smoke ring thing with you where you... Well, you couldn't stop giggling. Harry. Yes? Albus. I think you'd have liked them. And I think me, Lily and James would have liked them too. Harry nods. There's a slightly uncomfortable silence. Both are trying to reach each other here. Both are failing. Harry. You know, I thought I'd lost him. Voldemort. I thought I'd lost him, and then my scar started hurting again, and I had dreams of him, and I could even speak Parseltongue again. And I started to feel like I'd not changed at all, that he'd never let me go. Albus. And had he? Harry. The part of me that was Voldemort died a long time ago. But it wasn't enough to be physically rid of him. I had to be mentally rid of him. And that is a lot to learn for a 40-year-old man. He looks at Albus. That thing I said to you, it was unforgivable. And I can't ask you to forget it, but I can hope we move past it. I'm going to try to be a better dad for you, Albus. I'm going to try and be honest with you and... Albus. Dad, you don't need to. Harry. You told me you don't think I'm scared of anything and that... I mean, I'm scared of everything. I mean, I'm afraid of the dark. Did you know that? Albus. Harry Potter is afraid of the dark. Harry. I don't like small spaces, and I've never told anyone this, but I don't much like... He hesitates before saying this. Pigeons. Albus. You don't like pigeons? Harry. He scrunches up his face. Nasty, pecky, dirty things. They give me the creeps. Albus. But pigeons are harmless. Harry. I know. But the thing that scares me most... Albus Severus Potter, is being a dad to you, because I'm operating without wires here. Most people at least have a dad to base themselves on and either try to be or try not to be. I've got nothing, or very little, so I'm learning, okay? And I'm going to try with everything I've got to be a good dad for you. Albus, and I'll try and be a better son. I know I'm not James, Dad. I'll never be like you two. Harry. James is nothing like me. Albus. Isn't he? Harry. Everything comes easy for James. My childhood was a constant struggle. Albus. So was mine. So you're saying, am I like you? Harry smiles at Albus. Harry. Actually, you're more like your mum. Bold. Fierce, funny, which I like, which I think makes you a pretty great son. Albus. I almost destroyed the world. Harry. Delphi wasn't going anywhere, Albus. You brought her out into the light, and you found a way for us to fight her. You may not see it now, but you saved us. Albus. But shouldn't I have done better? Harry. You don't think I ask myself the same questions? Albus, stomach sinking further. He knows this is not what his dad would do. And then, when we caught her, I wanted to kill her. Harry. You'd watched her murder Craig. You were angry, Albus, and that's okay. And you wouldn't have done it. Albus. How do you know that?
Maybe that's my Slytherin side. Maybe that's what the Sorting Hat saw in me.
Harry.
I don't understand your head, Albus. Actually, you know what? You're a teenager. I shouldn't be able to understand your head. But I do understand your heart. I didn't for a long time, but thanks to this escapade, I know what you've got in there. Slytherin, Gryffindor, whatever label you've been given, I know that heart is a good one. Yeah, whether you like it or not, you're on your way to being some wizard. Albus. Oh, I'm not going to be a wizard. I'm going into pigeon racing. I'm quite excited about it.
Harry grins. Harry.
Those names you have, they shouldn't be a burden. Albus Dumbledore had his trials too, you know. And Severus Snape, well, you know all about him.
Albus.
They were good men.
Harry.
They were great men, with huge flaws. And you know what? Those flaws almost made them greater.
Albus looks around himself.
Albus. Dad, why are we here?
Harry.
This is where I often come.
Albus.
But this is a graveyard.
Harry.
And here is Cedric's grave.
Albus.
Dad?
Harry.
The boy who was killed. Craig Bowker. How well did you know him?
Albus.
Not well enough.
Harry.
I didn't know Cedric well enough either. He could have played Quidditch for England, or been a brilliant aura. He could have been anything, and Amos is right. He was stolen. So I come here, just to say sorry, when I can.
Albus.
That's a good thing to do.
Albus joins his dad in front of Cedric's grave. Harry smiles at his son and looks up at the sky.
Harry. I think it's going to be a nice day.
He touches his son's shoulder, and the two of them, just slightly, melt together.
Albus smiles. So do I.
The End. Original Cast. Harry Potter and the Cursed Child Parts 1 and 2 was first produced by Sonia Friedman Productions, Colin Callender, and Harry Potter Theatrical Productions. It premiered at the Palace Theatre London on the 30th of July 2016 with the following cast. Cast names in alphabetical order. Craig Bowker Jr. Jeremy Ang Jones. Moaning Myrtle and Lily Potter Sr. Annabelle Baldwin. Uncle Vernon, Severus Snape and Lord Voldemort. Paul Bentall. Scorpius Malfoy, Anthony Boyle. Albus Potter, Sam Clement. Hermione Granger, Noma Dumezweni. Polly Chapman, Claudia Grant. Hagrid and Sorting Hat, Chris Jarman. Jan Fredericks, James Lelacheur. Aunt Petunia, Madame Hooch and Dolores Umbridge. Helena Limbry, Amos Diggory and Albus Dumbledore, Barry McCarthy, Trolleywitch and Professor McGonagall, Sandy McDade, Station Master, Adam McNamara, Ginny Potter, Poppy Miller, Cedric Diggory, James Potter Jr. and James Potter Sr., Tom Milligan, Dudley Dursley, Carl Jenkins and Victor Crumb, Jack North, Harry Potter, Jamie Parker, Draco Malfoy, Alex Price, Bane, Nuno Silva, Rose Granger Weasley and Young Hermione, Cheryl Skeet, Delphi Diggory, Esther Smith, Ron Weasley, Paul Thornley, Young Harry Potter, Rudy Goodman, Alfred Jones, Billy Keough, Ewan Rutherford, Nathaniel Smith and Dylan Standen, Lily Potter Jr., Zoe Bruff, Christina Frey, and Christiana Hutchings. Other roles played by Nicola Alexis, Jeremy Ang Jones, Rosemary Annabella, Annabelle Baldwin, Jack Bennett, Paul Bentall, Morag Cross, Claudia Grant, James Howard, Lowry James, Chris Jarman, Martin Johnston, James Lelasher, Helena Limbury, Barry McCarthy, Andrew MacDonald, Adam McNamara, Tom Milligan, Jack North, Stuart Ramsey, Nuno Silva, and Cheryl Skeet. Swings. Helen Aluko, Morag Cross, Chipo Correa, Tom Mackley, Joshua Wyatt. Nuno Silva was the movement captain, Jack North was the assistant movement captain, and Morag Cross was the voice captain. Creative and production team. Original story. J.K. Rowling, John Tiffany, and Jack Thorne. Playwright, Jack Thorne. Director, John Tiffany. Movement director, Stephen Hoggett. Set designer, Christine Jones. Costume designer, Katrina Lindsay. Composer and arranger, Imogen Heap. Lighting designer, Neil Austin. Sound designer, Gareth Fry. Illusions and Magic, Jamie Harrison. Music supervisor and arranger, Martin Lowe. Casting director, Julia Horan of the Casting Directors Guild. Production manager, Gary Beeston. Production stage manager, Sam Hunter. Associate director, Des Kennedy. Associate movement director, Neil Bettles. Associate set designer, Brett J. Banakis. Associate sound designer, Pete Malkin. Illusions and Magic Associate, Chris Fisher. Casting Associate, Lottie Hines. Assistant Lighting Designer, Adam King. Costume Design Supervisor, Sabine Lemaitre. Hair, Wigs and Makeup, Carol Hancock. Prop Supervisors, Lisa Buckley and Mary Halliday. Music Editor, Fidge Adams. Music Production, Imogen Heap. Special Effects, Jeremy Chernick. Video Design, Finn Ross and Ash Woodward. Dialect Coach, Danielle Lydon. Voice Coach, Richard Ryder. Company Stage Manager, Richard Clayton. Stage Manager, Jordan Noble Davies. Deputy Stage Manager, Jennifer Tate. Assistant Stage Managers, Oliver Bagwell Purefoy, Tom Gilding, Sally Inch and Ben Sherratt. Resident Director, Pip Minithorpe. Head of Wardrobe, Amy Gillett. Deputy Head of Wardrobe, Laura Watkins. Wardrobe Assistants, Kate Anderson and Leanne Hyard. Dressers, George Amiel, Melissa Cook, Rosie Etheridge, John Ovenden, and Emily Swift. Head of Hair, Wigs and Makeup, Nina Van Houten. Deputy Head of Hair, Wigs and Makeup, Alice Towns. Hair, Wigs and Makeup Assistants, Charlotte Briscoe, Jacob Fessy, and Casey Murphy. Head of Sound, Chris Reed. Deputy Head of Sound, Rowena Edwards. Sound Number 3, Laura Kaplan. SFX Operator, Callum Donaldson. Head of Automation, Josh Peters. Deputy Head of Automation, Jamie Lawrence. Automation Number 3, Jamie Robson. Show Chief LX, David Trina. Performer Flying Technician, Paul Gurney. Chaperones, David Russell and Eleanor Dowling. General Management, Sonia Friedman Productions. Executive Director, Diane Benjamin. Executive Producer, Pam Skinner. Associate Producer, Fiona Stewart. Assistant Producer, Ben Canning. General Management Assistant, Max Bittleston. Production Assistant, Imogen Clare Wood. Marketing Manager, Laura Jane Elliott. Revenue Manager, Mark Payne. Associate Producer, Development, Lucy Lovett. Development Assistant, Lydia Ryan. Literary Associate, Jack Bradley. Office Assistant, Jordan Eaton. House Seats Assistant, Vicky Ngoma. Biographies of the Original Story Team. J.K. Rowling, Original Story. J.K. Rowling is the author of the 7 Harry Potter novels, which have sold over 450 million copies and have been translated into 79 languages, and 3 companion books originally published for charity. She is also the author of The Casual Vacancy, a novel for adults published in 2012, and, under the pseudonym of Robert Galbraith, is the author of the Cormoran Strike crime series. J.K. Rowling is making her screenwriting debut and is a producer on the film Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, a further extension of The Wizarding World, due for release in November 2016. John Tiffany, original story and director. John Tiffany directed Once, for which he was the recipient of multiple awards, both in the West End and on Broadway. As associate director of the Royal Court, his work includes The Twits, Hope, and The Pass. He was the director of Let the Right One In for the National Theatre of Scotland, which transferred to the Royal Court, West End, and St Anne's Warehouse. His other work for the National Theatre of Scotland includes Macbeth, also Broadway, Enquirer, The Missing, Peter Pan, The House of Bernarda Alba, Transform Caithness, Hunter, Be Near Me, Nobody Will Ever Forgive Us, The Bacchae, Black Watch, for which he won the Olivier and Critics' Circle Best Director Awards, Elizabeth Gordon Quinn, and Home, Glasgow. Other recent credits include The Glass Menagerie at ART and on Broadway, and The Ambassador at BAM. Tiffany was Associate Director of the National Theatre of Scotland from 2005 to 2012 and was a Radcliffe Fellow at Harvard University in the 2010 to 2011 academic year. Jack Thorne, original story and playwright. Jack Thorne writes for theatre, film, television and radio. His theatre credits include Hope and Let the Right One In, both directed by John Tiffany. The Solid Life of Sugarwater for the Grey Eye Theatre Company and the National Theatre. Bunny for the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Stacey for the Trafalgar Studios. And 2nd of May 1997 and When You Cure Me for The Bush. His adaptations include The Physicists for the Donmar Warehouse and Stuart, A Life Backwards for High Tide. On film, his credits include War Book, A Long Way Down, and The Scouting Book for Boys. For television, his credits include The Last Panthers, Don't Take My Baby, This Is England, The Fades, Glue, Cast-offs, and National Treasure. He won BAFTAs in 2016 for Best Miniseries, This Is England 90, and Best Single Drama, Don't Take My Baby, and in 2012 for Best Drama Series, The Fades, and Best Miniseries, This Is England 88. Acknowledgements. All the actors from the Cursed Child workshops, Mel Kenyon, Rachel Taylor, Alexandria Horton, Imogen Clare Wood, Florence Rees, Jennifer Tate, David Nock, Rachel Mason, Colin, Neil, Sonia, everyone at SFP and the Blair Partnership, Rebecca Salt from JKRPR, Nika Burns and all the staff at the Palace Theatre, and, of course, our incredible cast who helped shape every word.